like this morning, we'll read responsively. Hebrews chapter number 3, verse number 7. We're going to read all the way to chapter 4, verse number 3. So Hebrews 3, 7 to chapter 4, verse number 3. And I will read the odd verses, and you'll read with me the even verses. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Father, thank you so much again for the opportunity tonight to hear from your word. We're always grateful for the privilege of hearing from the word of God. Now I pray, dear God, that you'll allow us to get exactly what you intended for us tonight. I pray, dear Lord, as we walk through the church doors, that we will leave different for the good. Please be with Pastor Myers. Continue to give him strength so he can lead our church. Bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
I'm with you. ocean toss me on. He'll find me faithful to his call.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us and thank you for this evening. The opportunity we have to be together, I pray you'd bless our time and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here. We're in the book of Hebrews tonight. And one of the songs we sang really has to do with what we're going to talk about this evening. I don't like missing out on things. If there's something I want to be a part of and I want to be invested in, I hate to miss out. And sometimes I do it because I'm a tight one. My wife and I, last Christmas, we had some tickets to a Christmas music thing. And so I was going to take her out, have a nice night, you know, a nice date and everything. We bought the tickets a week in advance. And so over the Christmas break, one night I was going, it was about 8:30. I'm like, I'm going to take a shower. And so I went and I went into the restroom, I closed the door. I thought, we're supposed to be at that musical thing tonight. 7 o'clock. It was like 8:30. And I'm like, I ran out there and said, hon, guess where we were supposed to be tonight? Where? We were supposed to be at that Christmas musical. Now, call me a tightwad. I wasn't as much upset about missing it, although I wanted to go with my wife, as I was about the fact that we spent money on tickets that we couldn't use. Now, being the tightwad that I am, we called them the next day because they were doing this music over the several days and said, you know, listen, we forgot. Could you score us a couple of tickets for Friday night or something? They actually charged us just $20. They gave us two tickets, but I was kind of irritated we missed it. I mentioned this morning how we went to a game with Oscar, which I would never do again, and we missed it. I don't know, there were several of you in here. Years ago, we went to a Dodger game, and this back when we had our old green van, a bunch of us got into my 15-passenger van, and we went to the Dodger game, and they were losing like 5-0. Was there anybody that was there with us that day? I know Brother Pineda and some of the others were. And it was 5-0 in the ninth inning. It's like, let's go home. This game's boring. And sure enough, as we're driving home, they put the Dodger game on the radio. In the bottom of the ninth, they scored 6 runs. Okay. And so it's like, we missed it. But to miss out on music or a Dodger game is not a really big deal, to be honest with you. But to miss out on what God has for you is a big deal. Think of people in the Bible that missed it. Think of Thomas. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus showed himself as his resurrection, and because of that, he got himself a nickname, Doubting Thomas, which stuck with him. By the way, Thomas was not a coward. When Jesus was going to go back into Jerusalem after they had already tried to kill him, that he said, we're going to Jerusalem. The disciples are like, whoa, what's going on there? And Thomas says, look, if he wants to go die, let's go with him. But he was a doubter. You know why? He missed it. He wasn't there when Jesus came back. Think of Demas. Many people, if you lived in the Bible days, is like, wouldn't it be neat to have your name in the Bible? Not Demas. There's people in the Bible, their names are there, and it's like, I don't want my name in the Bible, okay? I've been called out. But think of Demas. He missed out. He was with Paul, a fellow laborer, and then he forsook Paul for the world. By the way, say, what happened to Demas after that? The Bible doesn't tell us. But I can tell you something. He missed out. It wasn't good. Say, how do you know that? Because you always miss out when you bail out on the Lord. Think of Saul. Saul, the first king. And all he had to do was obey God, and he couldn't even do that. And God said, fine, because of that, the kingdom's going to be cut away from you and given to somebody who's better, and your family has missed out. But there's a greater tragedy today that people miss out on the life that God has for them. And by the way, I'm not one of these saying, oh, you get saved, everything will be perfect. Don't tell people that. You're still going to have problems, okay? If you're married when you get saved, you're still married. You're going to have problems and things in life. But let me say this, life is so much better going through things with God than going by yourself. And you still see the blessings of God. So, Pete, you can miss out. Jesus said, I'm come to give them life and that more abundantly. Wasn't just something they were going to attain at that time that they would cash in at the end of their life and that's their ticket to heaven. Listen, he had something for them at this life. As we look at the verses in Hebrews, the theme of Hebrews really is Jesus is better. And it's a kind of a technical book, and it shows how Jesus is better than the angels and some of the covenants and some of the things that are that the Jews believed in. But there are parts of Hebrews where he gives little discourses, little messages. And this is the second one here. In this section, he's explaining the danger of doubting and disbelieving God's word. The background of this story is the children of Israel in the wilderness after they came out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness, and they were supposed to get into the promised land. But as they were heading to the promised land, and they got up against the promised land, they decided they didn't want to go in. They didn't want to believe God's promises. They didn't want to believe what God said. And so they fought against God in a sense, and they did not go in. The term that God used is they missed out, they didn't enter into his rest. Now there are, when Hebrews talks about rest, or we think about rest in the Bible in a spiritual sense, he's talking about three things. He's talking, first of all, about the rest of salvation. When we're saved, there's a rest that comes with that. We're no longer under the condemnation of sin. Then there's the rest when we eventually do get to heaven. That will be rest. But there's another rest that he gives us, the rest that we have when we live life on this earth the way that God tells us to live. The second song we sang tonight, like a river glorious, he offers perfect peace and rest. So many people don't experience peace or rest, and it has nothing to do with what's going on in their life. It has everything to do with their relationship with God. They live their own way. They do some of their own things. And because of that, they are not getting their rest. Well, these people didn't find God's rest. Yet God has a rest for us today. So I mentioned not that life is perfect, but that we can go through life with God and we can experience that peace and rest. We will not have troubles that are self-inflicted. We will not struggle with things simply because we are living a life of disobedience, a life that doesn't trust what God said for us. But what is the problem? What is the issue that the Israelites had when they came out of Egypt? And I had a message many years ago. It's called "The Party's Over So Soon." It's 3 days after they came out of Egypt, they started complaining. It didn't take long. And they were all happy when they got out, but it just started complaining about everything. The key is in chapter 4, verse 1, where he tells us that we should fear lest we miss the rest that God has for us. As you look back on your life, or you look at your life right now, not talking about the stuff that just comes into life that we have to deal with on a regular basis, but would you describe your life as a life that, although maybe there's the things of life we have to deal with, you have a blessed life? You have a life of rest, knowing that when your conscience and that you are serving the Lord to the best of your ability, that you, to the best of your ability, are obeying God and doing exactly what he said. These people were not. So I read through this passage, and as I came up with the message, I jotted this down several months ago, but As I read through it and I saw how he's fear of missing the rest, it's like, well, what was the issue? Well, if you read through the passage, the issue is pretty well shown. It's the heart. By the way, it's almost always the heart. As someone has said, and I've mentioned on many times, the heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. Our hearts are not right. Our hearts are not where they should be. And we miss out. So tonight, I want to help us not to miss it. If I had a title, it'd be, "Don't Miss It." Or I could say, "Don't Come Short of It." Like he mentions. And listen, if God's offering us a life that all we have to go through already, if we can have his peace and we can have his rest and we can have his presence in our life to help us to get through this life, and not just get through this life, you know, and I barely made it, but get through this life successfully, in a spiritual sense, you don't want to miss it. Well, how do we miss it? Well, let's look at some of the hearts. Let's see what happened here. There are several hearts here that they mention, several types of hearts that hurt us. I will not be long tonight. You say, you said that this morning when you said you were struggling with your health. I know, but I did okay. By the way, if you see that I'm up here, let me say that, and I'm not singing. So I'm trying to save myself. It's not that I'm not singing. I love songs. I love the hymns we sing. I love the choir singing, although the guys that sing directly behind me aren't the best, but whatever. I love the orchestra and great, but I'm not. And when you see me on my phone, I'm not texting somebody. I'm checking to see how my team's doing. That's what I'm doing. I'm usually checking I'm making a note of something we need to fix, or I'm checking the temperature, okay? I'm not just up here playing, you know, Galactic Space Chickens on my phone or something like that. But let me tell you, there's five hearts we need to look at here and need to be careful of, and a couple we need to incorporate. Number one, I want you to see that there's a straying heart that diverts us. A straying heart. Look at verse 10 of chapter 3 again. I hope you have your Bibles open. It's good to have your Bibles open. Look at your Bible. I'm not just making this stuff up. I try to stick with what the Bible says. He says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. Now, as he said earlier, he was not grieved with all of them. It says a few verses down there, the ones he was particularly grieved with were those that were 18 and above, that he wiped them all out. The younger ones, he gave them a chance. And, of course, Caleb and Joshua. But he says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do alway, here it is, err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. What does it mean to err? The word literally means to stray away, to lead away from the right path. See, that's what happens. Our heart, if we're not careful, will cause us to stray away from what God wants for us, to stray away from God. And when our heart strays away from God, it's going to lead us off the right path, into the wrong path, and we're going to have some serious issues. And we remember the children of Israel's, the ones who never made it to Canaan, they had a multitude of problems. They were constantly complaining. They had contention with their leaders. They had strife among themselves. They kept wanting to turn and go back into Egypt, which makes no sense. They secretly worshiped false gods. They had a mixed multitude there that they were following. So they had a multitude of problems. But the real problem was the error in their heart. And it showed itself in two ways. First, they forgot God's works. How could they err and stray from God if they would just remember everything God had already done for them? I mean, I don't understand that. Now, I understand many people, they get saved and God does great things in their life, and then they stray away from God. We had a couple one time, a lady visited my Sunday school class probably about 17 years ago, and she came in and we asked her, you know, she goes, yeah, I'm married, but my husband and I are in the process of getting a divorce. And we're like, well, you know, and he was still around the house at that time. She was getting ready for him to get out, and she's like, yeah, we're done, it's over. And I'm like, well, you know, let us go see him. She's, no, it's not going to work. So we went by, and I developed a relationship with him, found out he got saved, started coming to church, started doing the right thing, started working on some of the issues in their marriage. I'm sorry, they had already gotten a divorce. That was the thing. And so they were going to get back together, and they were going to get remarried. That year, I think it was either 2000 or 2001, Valentine's Day was on a Sunday. And Pastor had the idea that we would have, after the Sunday night service, we'd have a little Valentine's banquet in our fellowship hall for the married couples. And we were also going to, during the service, have a renew the vows of all the married couples. But the centerpiece was going to be this couple. They were going to get remarried during the recommitment vows. The Channel 4 news came out. Ted Chin, I think one of their top guys, was out there. Our church was on television. And they filmed the wedding and our service, played it on their prime news that night. The Long Beach Press-Telegram, back before did they go out of business? I sure hope so. But they came and they put a front page story of our church with this couple and their testimony. After the couple got remarried and started going, the lady, the one who like, oh, he'll never change and all that, she started straying after about 6 months. they were right back where they were before. And I'm like, don't you understand? Listen, she told me the husband had a lot of problems, and he did. And he changed, God changed every one of them. But that wasn't good enough for her. How do we forget what God has done? That quickly. These people forgot like right when they were out of Egypt. They forgot about the plagues upon Egypt. Now, the first few were a little bit tough, but after that, they were fine. You imagine at the end of them, all that stuff was happening in Egypt, they were fine. And then when they went out of the country, God gave them favor where they were borrowing and not having to repay all these expensive things from the Egyptians. Remember, then the Egyptians follow them, and God protects them when they're stuck against the Red Sea. God puts that wall of fire up. And then he parts the Red Sea and takes them through the Red Sea, and then he lets the Egyptians come through the Red Sea, and he drowns all of them. Man, I'm thinking, this is good. What's next? You know what they're thinking? That's not enough. They forgot everything they did that God did for them. That's what happens when your heart strays. Feel sad for people that leave the Lord. Over the years, it's the saddest thing about being in a church. People that were here loving God, and they left. They didn't even leave to go to another church. And they forget what God did for them. Why? They strayed off the path. Not only that, there's another thing that's not good. They forsake God's way. They forsake God's way. It says at the end of the verse, and have not known my ways. The word known has a connotation of a very close relationship. You see, when they strayed and their heart erred, they strayed away, but then they didn't have that relationship with God that they once had. Hey, let me ask you something tonight. How's your relationship with God? Is there a time in your life when the relationship you had with God was better than what you had now? Talked to somebody one time, there was issues in a relationship. I'm like, well, when was the relationship good? It's like, well, you know, when we were being faithful in church and we were close to the Lord, the relationship was better. I'm like, okay. I was kind of hoping sometimes people hear that and say that's the answer. And what happens to us sometimes, our relationship starts to drift a little, and Satan throws it out there that that's just how it is. That's just how it's going to be. You know, you're a spiritual loser. Listen, you can always go right back. You don't have to stay like that. But these people that saw miracles that you and I will never see, they don't even know his ways anymore. They forgot everything God was doing. How about you tonight? Are you missing it? Are you faithful to his word like you used to be? Now, you're the Sunday night church crowd. Thank you. Are you faithful to church like you used to be? You can be here on a Sunday night, but listen, if there's something else that you feel like doing, you'd miss church in a heartbeat. Listen, don't be like that. We don't need less of God. We need more of God. I mean, we're out all week in the nonsense that's going on and the drama and all that. It's nice to be together with God's people, in God's house, being encouraged. Let's not miss out on that. So they had straying hearts. Secondly, they had evil hearts. Look at verse 12. Says, take heed. I mean, watch what you're doing now, brethren. Lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, notice that the evil that he's talking about is not some great sin. What was their evil? Unbelief. Wasn't sin. We'll get to that in a minute. That crept in. But their evil heart God was talking about was the fact that they did not believe him. That although God brought them out of Egypt and God promised that he had a Canaan land for them, a land that was much better, a life that was much better, and they couldn't buy into it. They didn't believe him. Just do what I say. By the way, they struggled with what they saw in front of them. These people are giants. How in the world are we going to defeat them? God had already told them. He had already said, listen, before you even go in to fight the battles, I'm going to discomfort them. I'll send in hornets. These battles, it's going to be nothing for you. And by the way, had they not already saw that? They had fought a few battles here or there. They wiped out the Egyptian army, and all they did was drive through dry land in the middle of the Red Sea. But they didn't get it. They did not believe him. Listen, a lack of faith is not just wrong. He calls it evil. Jesus got on the disciples sometimes, right? And he said some pretty harsh things, and a lot of times it was related to their faith. They just didn't believe what he said. We do that all the time when we don't do what he says because we don't believe. How did their evil hearts cause them to depart? Well, first, they were not alert to danger. Now, he tells us, hey, make sure you take heed, brethren, because they didn't take heed. They had an evil heart of unbelief. When we start disbelieving God, then we are open and we are unaware to the danger that is coming our way. No Christian needs to be overrun by something which is sinful and wrong. We don't need to be overrun by all that nonsense. The reason we are is because we have a lack of faith towards God, and so we're unaware of what's going on. What kills me is good people that have been in church for a long time and the things they allow into their life, which messes up their life, and it's like, you should have known better than that. Now, I'm not going to tell someone that to their face unless I have a close relationship to them. But what has happened? We're lacking in our faith, and so we're not alert anymore. We're not careful. Listen, Christians are just too nonchalant anymore. We're supposed to be alert to danger. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Didn't Jesus tell that to his disciples? We got to be very careful. Let's be alert to the dangers. We read something in the Bible, but it's like, I know the Bible says that, but I'm different. You're not different. I'm not different. A lot of people that get in sin, you know why? They think they're different. I've been doing this for a long time. I know a lot of pastors for many years. And there's a handful I've known over the years that have done something stupid, wrong, and sinful. I don't think they were bad men. But I think it came to a time in their life where they weren't careful. I'm up here, and you know, come on, what can happen? A lot can happen. Especially when we're not careful in our beliefs. We come to church, we hear things from the Bible or something that's preached that we should take heed to. And just like, what's the big deal? Secondly, their evil hearts depart because they're not alert to God. He says that I like the phrase he uses here. In departing from the living God. I mean, did they understand that this was not a God that did something in the past that's just totally disconnected to them? No, he's the living God. He is alive. His presence is in our lives. He is everywhere. He wants to be a part of what's going on, and we're totally on alert to him. I like that. Living God. I remember one time when Jessica was about 3, she came home from church, and she was singing some of the songs that she learned in junior church that day. The first one was, I have peace like a liver. I'm like, no, dear, that's not liver. I'm pretty sure it's river. Like, whatever, that's what they were singing in junior church. Like, we need to talk to these people. But my favorite one is, she says, God's not dead, he's a liar. It's like, I'm pretty sure he's not a liar. It's not God's not dead, he is alive. By the way, he is alive. He's a living God. And why don't we get tuned into him? We're not alert to the living God. Didn't we just celebrate Easter? What's the deal with Easter? We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. So they had that problem. Thirdly, the third heart is a hardened heart. that deceives us. Look at verse 8. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, when our hearts start to get hard, and by the way, there's almost a progression here. Okay? First we start to err and we stray from the path. And then we start disbelieving God. And that's evil unbelief. And now our hearts start to get hard. And it deceives us. The steps are going down. Notice that there's two ways our hearts are hardened here. Verse 8 says, harden not your hearts. First, our hearts are self-hardened. That means we're hardening it. We get into some sin or some hard thing and we keep doing it, and God tries to prompt us away from it, and we're ignoring God, and that heart's just getting harder and harder and harder. We bring that on ourselves. It's like when it talks about Pharaoh, where it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. That doesn't mean God made Pharaoh do something he didn't want to do. Pharaoh's heart was set on that way, and God said, fine, if that's how you want your heart to be set, we'll just set it that way right there. We'll make it hard. He just made, like you, when we were kids, we'd make stuff out of clay in our classes when I was in grade school. Now, everybody smoked in grade school, so I made my mom an ashtray, okay? You know, what are you going to do? She smoked. And, you know, we would form that thing and you leave it out. You've already formed it to what it is, and it sets there and it gets hard and it becomes permanent in what it is. And our hearts can get like that. Hearts. Hard hearts. You say, well, how do I know if I'm allowing my heart to get hard? Hard. When's the last time God spoke to you about something? And I'm not talking about, you know, I had a dream and I ate pizza. And next thing you know, I had this dream and I saw 800-foot Jesus. Wake up. Okay. I heard about there's some nonsense church in Florida, Elevation or something. And the pastor just, for Easter Sunday, he said he had a conversation with Jesus. So he wasn't going to preach from the Bible. He told you what Jesus told him in his dreams. Hogwash. By the way, and this is off the subject, but we'll just go ahead. Well, I saw Jesus, and we had a conversation. You know, when people in the Bible saw him, they fell to their face. When Isaiah saw God, he didn't say, what's up? He said, woe is me. I don't even know how to talk. I better be careful what I say. It's not like Jesus is my buddy. Okay, but when's the last time God spoke to you about something? Maybe you read something in the Bible and like, wow, I need that. You heard something in church, it's like, not that you're evil, wicked person, but you're something you was pointed out from the scripture and it's like, I needed that reminder. I needed that prompting. By the way, that's a good sign. Well, I want to go to a church where I never get promptings. Well, if you go to most of these churches, you're not going to get promptings. But that's a bad thing. I would be scared if God didn't talk to me. I would be scared if I can listen to a message. Now, some messages aren't really. I could constantly listen to something or constantly read my Bible, and there's never anything in there that hits me upside the head or encourages me to do something. That means I'm not hearing from God. Let's not let our hearts get hardened. Let's not be the ones that are hardening in our heart. But there's also another type of hardening. That's in verse 13. We're hardening, our hearts are hardened because of sin. And by the way, he mentions the deceitfulness of sin. Sin always lies to us, of course, right? It lies in its promise. You do this, and this is what you need. This will make you feel good. Sin always lies like that. It lies in its payment. It doesn't tell you that, you know what? There's a bad payment coming for sin. You can never sin successfully. Lord, help me today as I try to rip this person. No, it's not going to work. God doesn't bless that. And then it's practice. You know, it's just a one-time thing. What's the big deal? The big deal, sin binds. It may not be a one-time thing. It causes our heart to get really hard. You know, many people, you try to exercise and watch what you eat. You say, why do you watch what you eat? So you don't spill it. okay? Make sure it gets in your mouth. You know, let's be healthy. Let's watch what we eat. Let's exercise and do all those things. And I'm all for that. You know, got to have a healthy heart. You know, sin's bad for your heart. It's not good for your spiritual life. It's the cause of spiritual heart disease. Why don't we give as much care to our spiritual feeding as we do to our physical feeding? You know, my wife doesn't like sugar. She needs to get over it. She does, but no one should eat it. Remember when Emily was a little girl, it's like, no, Emily, sugar's bad. And Emily was about 3, and Emily's like, sugar bad, sugar bad. So one time my wife wasn't around, and I had a piece of candy. I'm like, Emily, you want a piece of candy? Oh, no, no, Mom, sugar's bad. I'm like, come on, Emily, it's really good. You want it? She goes, no, no, sugar's bad. I said, come on, Mom's not here. You can have it. She looked at me and said, okay, don't tell Mom. Like, okay, I'm in. You get a piece, I get a piece. But we take care of ourselves physically. Why don't we take care of ourselves spiritually? Do what we can to be as spiritually healthy as we can be. The last two hearts are good hearts. I won't be long. The fourth heart is a fearful heart which directs us. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. The last two are the ones I really want us to get. He says, let us therefore fear. Now, I know the Bible tells us not to fear. God says it a lot. And most fear is not a good thing. But you know there is some fear that is good. The fear of the Lord is one. And that's not that I quake in my boots. Fear of the Lord means I understand I'm accountable to God and I should watch what I do because he knows everything I do. That's all. It just helps us to stay on the right path. But there's a good fear here. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us entering into rest, God's promise for us to have the restful life, he's applying his message now, any of you should seem to come short of it. You know what? Every single one of us in here need to fear that we don't live the life that God wants us to live. We ought to be fearful of that. That we should come short of the life that God really has for us because we do the other things. We have the erring heart and the straying heart and all that stuff. We should fear that. Lord, I want to stay on the right track. Lord, I want to have a heart that's sensitive to you. And if I feel in my heart, and we all have times like that, where my heart's getting cold and I'm struggling these days, Lord, I hope that you would help me to turn around. I don't want to miss what you have for me. Fear of missing is wisdom. You know, Canaan's a picture of living on the promises of God. It's promised land. In other words, everything in there was going to be a promise that God gave them. It's going to be fulfilled because they're following his way. You know, the Bible's full of promises. God, the promises in our lives and in our families and everything, if we'll just follow him, we ought to fear missing God's wisdom. We ought to fear a fear of getting into a situation where because of our unbelief, we don't find what God wants for us, or we choose not to follow what God wants for us, and our life becomes a wreck because we didn't follow his wisdom. We ought to fear that. That'll keep us on the straight and narrow. That'll keep us saying, you know what, Lord, I want to have what you want me to have. The reason most people don't fear missing his wisdom is because really we just want to live lives our own ways. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's quoted verbatim twice in Proverbs. Because we always think we know best. Let's not miss his wisdom. For most of us, we miss God's wisdom because we're not in his book. The Bible's just something we bring to church on Sunday. We take it home and set it somewhere, maybe dust it off during the week. And then next Sunday, where's my Bible? We need it every day. We ought to also have a fear of missing God's will. That's what he means by saying, lest any of you should come short of the rest. God has a plan and a life laid out for every single one of us. By the way, who knows us best? God. Who knows what is best for us? God. So maybe we should tap into that and find out what exactly he wants for us. That's his will. And that'll bring us that life that he has for us. But too many of us, we're not fearful of that. Lastly, open hearts should digest. Verse 2. And if we do this, we will not struggle with the other hearts. Look what he says in verse 2. Now unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. They received instructions from God as well as we did. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They heard the message just as well as we're going to hear the message. But it did them no good. Their hearts were not open to it. What are the elements here, the open heart? First of all, the message. There is a message. We need to be committed to the message of God's word. That's got to be the key thing in our life. We don't live in a country where the Bible has to be smuggled in. We don't live in a country where you could be put to death for having a Bible. You know, the Dark Ages were Dark Ages for a reason. You know why they were the Dark Ages? Well, because they didn't have technology. Nope. Well, because of this, that. No, there was a Dark Ages because there was a dearth of the Word of God, and the Catholic Church was killing people if they possessed a copy of the Word of God. Very powerful during the Dark Ages. The Pope was one of the most powerful leaders on earth during most of that time. And they didn't want the people knowing the scriptures, because if the people knew the scriptures, they would know the false doctrine they were being fed, and they would flee. And by the way, when the printing press was invented, that's when things started to change. Now the Bible was printed freely and getting smuggled in. But the ages were dark because they didn't have the light of God's word. You don't have that excuse. We have God's word. We have his light. We have his message. They had his message. We should do everything we can to get as much of God's message as we can into our life. But with that message needs to be some mixing. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, they heard the message, but they did not let the message be a part of their life by obedience. That's it right there. See, if I were to ask you, I don't think anybody in here or outside or even in Patch would say, I don't believe the Bible. So you say, well, see, I hear the message and I have faith. Do you do what it says? See, you really only have faith in something if you're willing to put your actions down based on what you believe. I believe this, and yet your actions say the opposite. And the Israelites, like, well, they heard the message, but they didn't have the faith to mix obedience with what they were hearing. God's word is not it's not a suggestion. You know, we treat most of what God says like a Chinese fortune cookie. Well, that's just a good suggestion. God doesn't give suggestions. God gives commandments. And we have a choice when God gives commandments. Are we going to mix what we hear with faith and put it into practice in our life? We'll find God's rest. If you're not finding God's rest today, let's just boil this all down. I can give you 1,000 different hearts, but let's just kick it into gear and get out of here. It's because you're not doing what he says. Well, I'm just struggling, and I have all these problems in my life. If it's health problems, it's just DNA. If it's problems someone's trying to create from the outside, you just got to do what you can do. But most of our problems are self-inflicted. If you look at your life and say, man, the Christian life just isn't working for me. It's not supposed to work for you. It's something that happens as you grow in your faith and you incorporate what God says in his message and you do it. That's the problem. The problem is we think faith is a feeling. Well, I just feel warm and fuzzy when I'm carrying my Bible. Look, you want to feel warm and fuzzy? Stick your hand in a light socket. You'll feel warm. And you might even glow. You know, the Bible has power when you open it up. Mine doesn't even say Holy Bible. It says on the side, Holy Bible. But you know, the good stuff is not on the cover. It's on the inside. The Jews saw everything God did. Based on everything God did, God told them some things to do. And they're like, no, not going to do it. I just can't trust that. And guess what? They miss God's rest. Now, what about us tonight? Don't miss it. Why in the world would we settle for second best when God's got first best for us? Why? And by the way, if you're missing God's first best, get back in. Let's just find out what God says and say, I'm in. I don't want to miss it. Let's stand together this evening.